Sometimes when a couple meets with us, Priscilla, the guy will come in and say, man, I just need to be the spiritual leader. I know I'm the head of this marriage and head of this family. I just need to be the spiritual leader, and then everything would be better.
And the other half says, if he would only be the spiritual leader, everything would be okay in our marriage.
So the question boils down to this idea of the head. Is the husband really the head of the wife? Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to tell you what we got all wrong.
Hi, this is Phil and Priscilla Fretwell here with Savage Marriage.
We're going to talk about how God is healing and restoring marriages today from betrayal, addictions, and the wounds of their past.
And what he did in our marriage, he can do in yours too.
When we got married, I had been a Christian about 6 years, and I was trying to figure out what marriage was about. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, there was one verse that I really thought I knew because I'd heard a lot, and it was Ephesians 5:23. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic husband and wife verse, right?
Yep.
Especially for the proud and arrogant person.
Well, I gravitated toward that. It's kind of like I finally found a verse that really fits me well.
Well, you didn't add the other part that everyone really likes.
What's that?
Wife, submit to your husband.
Oh, I like that one too. I just didn't want to say that one at the beginning. So that's kind of how we entered marriage almost 35 years ago. Did you have any thoughts on that? I mean, was that even in your wheelhouse back then, thinking about that?
Oh, most definitely, because that's how I grew up, right? Mm. I saw my mom and dad doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it was his way or the highway.
Well, I remember seeing that too, because you and I went to Brazil before we got engaged, right? Because I wanted to meet your parents. You remember that trip?
Oh, yeah. That was a lovely trip.
So I got there and I quickly saw that in your family of origin, that your dad was in charge. Your mom was playing the submissive missionary's wife. And they really were a lovely couple, really spoke into my life a lot. But, you know, I took that from them as, wow, this is fantastic. I'm on the right track. And I think Priscilla's on the right track, too.
Our whole purpose of going was for me to get my dad's approval.
Yeah.
Here's the boss of the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had done this prior.
Yeah.
Some years prior to this, I had gone to him with this guy, and he said no. And I said, okay.
Cut it off.
Right. I cut it off. So here's Phil going to Brazil with me, and I'm going to get my dad's approval. And if my dad said no, then it was no.
Well, you know, that whole process, I mean, it was important to go get that. But the sub message through that is, this is the way Priscilla grew up. This is what she's comfortable in. And this is what she's going to want from me. And so it spurred me on.
Encouraged
right?
you.
It did. It did to really come in with this strong leadership model, because that's what I had heard in my short, 6 years of being a Christian, that the husband was supposed to be the spiritual leader and the wife's job was to submit. And that's really what I wanted to do.
I was comfortable with this, right? This is the soil that I had been planted in.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that with my mom too. This is the soil that she had been planted in. How she grew up wasn't that much different than how I grew up.
Well, interestingly, in my family, my parents were divorced when I was 10. And so my dad went around so much. So I saw my mom really being the leader there. And I really probably took more of her qualities that I've got to step in and be the leader. So it wasn't so much about gender for me growing up as is leadership. You've got to grab the horns of this. And I will tell you that when we entered marriage, I felt like I should be in charge, not because of what I saw in that Bible verse, but because the pride and the arrogancy inside of me told me that that's the way I should live my life. Me at the center, me making decisions, and basically ruling in that situation. It was a real proud, arrogant approach. And then when I saw the Bible verses, that kind of reinforced it and told me this is the way it should be going. But when you think about that, Priscilla, can you think about ways that just showed up? I mean, practical ways.
Practical.
I shouldn't even ask you this. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
No, go on. Because there's quite a few examples,
right? What you got?
Okay, the number one example, when we first got married, right?
Okay.
We had gone to your mom's house, and she lived in Leesburg, and we lived in Tampa. And we stopped by a McDonald's, and you were hungry, but I was not. So I just wanted iced tea.
Are we going to talk about the iced tea again? So
I said, I'll just have an iced tea. And you said, no, you can't have an iced tea. And I said, why can't I have an iced tea? And you said, because it's, what was it like? They charge
$1.79.
$1.79 for iced tea when it only cost them 5 cents to make the tea.
It was a value equation for me.
So, you know, there I sat going, I can't believe I can't have iced tea. And I got water.
Man, I feel terrible about that now. But I did buy you an iced tea the other day without you asking.
That's
you
right.
know, it's all the healing in my life on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them, you know. Laundry was another one where you would say, hey, I don't have any white clothes, so you got to do the laundry.
Okay. I just sound worse and worse on this podcast. Let's do a different one.
There's more.
Is there more? Yeah. Well, I'm scared to ask anymore. But yeah, so that was a lot that was going on. And but what about inside you? You know, those were the things that were happening to you. But what inside you? How did this show up, like in your feelings and your emotions, with me being this arrogant, dominant person?
I felt a lot of discouragement of not being listened to or cared for, and kind of almost in the sense of, Priscilla, you need to suck it up, which is a phrase I heard when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And it's a phrase I used on my own kids. Mm. You don't like it, suck it up. That's life, you know? And even though I felt discouragement and disappointment, you know, it was like, I guess this is the way it's going to be. This is the right way.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't see any of that. What it told me was I was really just focused on what was going on with me. And even when you mentioned some of this, like I remember later in our marriage, you came up and said you thought you needed to go see a counselor and all that stuff. I didn't believe it. I really didn't. I kept saying, what's wrong with you? You have a great life, right? But it really did go back to this idea that I was just not in touch with you. I was in touch with me.
You were in touch with yourself.
Yeah.
Also, it caused me not to seek my own relationship with God, right? Because I was like dependent on you.
I was the leader and you were supposed to be the follower.
Right. And I would just follow on your, is it shirt tails?
Yeah.
What is it called?
Coattails, I think.
Coattails. Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's what I would do. And so I really had no leaning on what is it that God wants me to do. It was, what is God telling Phil to do that I have to follow?
And so in that orientation, I adapted to that, right? Because
yes.
I felt that I've got to keep this spiritual leadership going because everybody is depending on me. I'm the source of all their spirituality.
Right. Even with our kids.
Yeah. With our kids too, right?
Yeah.
And as long as you follow and do what I say, you're going to be great spiritually.
Right.
And it's funny, I didn't say do what I do because I was so out of bounds, but I certainly it was do what I say. So it's interesting looking back on this, Priscilla, and how did I wind up this way? And it was not because of theology. You know, today there are tons of books and podcasts and everything around this idea of complementarianism or egalitarianism. And so the complementarianism was kind of where I was at the maximum. You know, the man's in charge, he's got his role, the wife's got a role. And egalitarianism would be a little more equality. Right? And so I was very much into I'm the leader here, but I didn't get on that path because of intellectual knowledge. It's not like I started reading the Bible and saying, oh, this is what I should be. There was something inside of me that wanted to rule over you.
Yeah, it goes back to Genesis 3:16, which was part of the curse from the fall. Speaking to Eve, God said, your desire shall be for your husband, yet he shall rule over you. It pointed to the inward desire of man to rule over his wife.
Well, that's what I embraced, and that's what was inside of me. And some people will look at that scripture and say, see, the man is supposed to rule over the wife. But see, that scripture is about the fall. It's about the curse.
It's the old covenant.
It is, you know, and now we're under the new covenant and things change.
Yeah. And man has done that, right? He has ruled over his wife.
Well, that's what I embraced, Priscilla. It was really the sin nature inside of me. And then I found the scripture to kind of back it up because I kept going back to that Ephesians 5 scripture where it talks about man is the head of woman.
But what does the head mean?
Well, that is the question, right? Because I have always assumed that meant boss, which is what I loved. But we've had to go back and deconstruct this, haven't we?
Yeah. And I think that deconstruction started when, especially for me, right? It started when Jesus became real. Mm-hmm. And I started to look at his word and say, Lord, how does this apply to me?
Yeah.
Because my whole life had been, what does the church say? What does the pastor say up front? You know, and not saying, hey, what are you saying to me? Mm. And I think you and I both started this deconstruction of our beliefs. Not that we don't believe anything that we've been taught, but yeah. It's like, how is this applied to me?
Right.
Reveal to me, Father, what does this verse mean?
And it started with us really looking at the head, because I really liked the way I thought it meant boss. So it's the Greek word kephale. And if you look at it, what it means is it's the thing sitting on your shoulders. It's your head. It could also mean like the source of a river. But the key thing, it does not mean boss. It does not mean authority. Now, the translation is into head. And yeah, if you translate it into English, you can kind of get boss or authority, even in some other languages, like I think Hebrew and German maybe. But in Greek, it does not translate into boss or authority. And that's the way we have primarily looked at this. But, you know, Priscilla, I think that the issue for me is it wasn't the bad theology or the lack of understanding here that took me there. It was my own proud, arrogant attitude. And it was from the fall, the verse that you read about the husband shall rule. And if you think about it, I mean, that verse has been reflected in secular society for millennia, right? All over the place.
And, you know, this is how our life was for 28 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until 6.5 years ago.
Well, we had to go back and relook at it. And so if you look and say, what really changed? Did I get a better understanding of the verses? No, I didn't. What changed was my submission to God changed dramatically. And that submission and the humility started getting reflected in our relationship. And I don't know that we've talked about this a lot, Priscilla, but I think that if I have to go back and look at it, I think that what happened is I started softening toward God, and then I started softening toward you. And I voluntarily really put myself underneath you, not because I saw new theology, but because of my own brokenness. And that's what created the softening in our relationship, I think.
It happened to me too. I started to lean into what it is that God was doing to us, You know, and I saw this change in you, and it said, wow, this is a big change for the person that Phil used to be, and now he's changing. And, you know, that's the whole thing of looking to God and coming before him and holding on to him, and he's everything, right?
Yeah.
And bowing down and humbling ourselves before him.
There is a lot of literature being directed towards this whole idea of, are you egalitarian or a complementarian?
Yeah.
Complementarian, right?
Right.
And it's almost like if I can convince you that this is the proper theology, you're going to change. But I don't think that's what happens. It's not what happened with us.
No.
If you look back and say, what changed us? It was the softening toward God. It was the brokenness. But then we started really looking at other verses. It wasn't these verses about head. I mean, we've just started doing that.
Yeah.
But we started looking at verses like 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers would not be hindered. That was one of our key verses, right? That I had to live with you in an understanding way. And see, that would run contrary toward my proud, arrogant attitude.
Another one that we looked at was Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than ourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others.
Yeah, because if you look at that and you say, wow, how am I going to be the proud, arrogant leader, head of this house, right?
When you're looking at out for the best for somebody
else.
Yes,
exactly, right? You mentioned at the beginning, what about the second part of the verse,
yeah,
right? Wives submit to the husband, right?
Right.
So
a biggie in our culture, Christian, mm-hmm. Christian culture.
So another verse that we had to look at, and it really deals with the second part of what you brought out at the beginning, Priscilla, about what we all knew, and that was wives submit to the husbands, right? Another part that I loved here. And it goes back to Ephesians 5, 21 and 22. Now, it's interesting. You got to look at 21 because we always looked at 22, which says in most Bibles, wives submit to the husbands. But I completely ignored 21. So
amazing,
right?
How we do that.
I pick and choose, right? So verse 21 says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then the next verse should be, and for wives as to the Lord. And so you say, well, why did he have to qualify then the wives? And shouldn't it say wives submit to the husband? Well, the submit to is actually not in the Greek in verse 22. In your Bible, you can look it up. It probably puts it in there. And you probably have a heading over that verse, like this is the main thought. But you really have to go back to 21. And I think that's been a source of a lot of error and not complete understanding on this.
And some bias.
And some bias. Some could be some gender bias in there because most of the translators would have been men.
So why do they have the qualifier for the woman?
Yeah, if it's mutual submission, why do we talk about the women, right?
Yeah.
Well, in Colossians 3:18, it also has a similar thought. Wives, submit to your husbands. Then it goes on and say, as is fitting in the Lord. Like in Ephesians, it says, as to the Lord. In Colossians, it says, as is fitting in the Lord, at least in the New American Standard. And so I think that gives us a clue because remember what we talked about, the natural fallen nature is the man is to rule. And that means he could be demanding things of wives that are not godly, not looking out for her own best interest, not looking out for what God would want her to do. And so it has a qualifier. It says, as is fitting in the Lord. So in other words, if you're being abused and you're saying, should I submit to the abuse? We would say that is not fitting in the Lord to do that. Or if he's asking you to do something ungodly.
So it's more like, what is it that God would want for you? And not be, you know, made to do things or put up with something that is really ungodly.
It is, because it's not fitting. It's not fitting in the Lord. So I think that's the reason you get the qualifier for the women. You don't have a qualifier for men, because remember, in this society and everything, the men were ruling. And they were in charge anyway. And so that's the way you wind up with it.
Well, there's only one command here then, right?
What is that?
For the man.
Yeah.
Which is, husbands, love your wives.
It is. Yeah. That's Ephesians 5:24. And this is the other thing that we saw. So in this passage, this whole passage in Ephesians, so say Ephesians 5:21-33, and we encourage you to look at it, right? Don't just take our word for this. There is one imperative Greek verb in this passage. And it is in verse 24, husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And that's the one command. And somehow in this passage, when we've preached it, we've really looked at it as two things. Wives submit, husbands love, right? But the emphasis in the Greek, the one imperative verb, everything else is supposed to be supporting this, is on the husbands loving the wives. And so anyway, that's more preaching than we typically do on these things, isn't it? But it was a real revelation to us.
Right.
Don't you
think? Wanted to cover all the verses.
I did cover all the verses. I got a couple I didn't cover, but this is a key, you know. I think that we have completely misunderstood this whole part here about what it means here to be the head. So Priscilla, looking back on this for us, you know, again, 6.5 years ago, coming clean, softening, things start changing now. I start letting go of this authoritarian approach to me being in charge. How did that change in our marriage? What started happening between us, would you say?
When I look back at what happened in the 28 and then what is happening now and since we are walking on this journey together, I see us as equal. Mm-hmm. Spiritually equal in Christ. And not only that, but there have been times that I have seen God move and God teaching me and speaking through me to you.
Yeah.
You know, and I have shared those things with you. And you, of course, have been more receptive to that because mm-hmm. back in the 28, you would have said, I'm going to go ask a friend. Yeah. I'm going to go ask the pastor. And I would be going, okay, sure. But so I have seen that change, that you are actually wanting to hear what do you feel impressed? What is the Holy Spirit impressing you, Priscilla?
But, you know, I think what it really points to is we now have a process of more joint decision making.
Yeah.
And it's honor and respect between us. And, you know, you could put a label on that of egalitarianism. I mean, we do believe we both have roles and responsibilities within the family. We have a pretty traditional family structure, you know. But as far as like respect and honor and honoring you as a co-heir of the grace of life, like in 1 Peter 3:7, that's probably what we're seeing happen a little more.
Well, you know, the thing that I have seen really change with you in the past few years is you stepping up and doing things here around the house that probably most people would say that's Priscilla's responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the laundry or even cooking the meals, you're just like, hey, I'm going to do this. And so actually, you never say, hey, the white clothes need to be washed. You don't, you have never said that to me.
I've not said that in 6.5 years.
Right.
I figured out how to wash the white clothes.
But, but you know, it's funny. I heard a podcast the other day, and it was talking about men helping around the house, especially if you want to be intimate that night.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Why aren't they helping all the time?
Right.
You know, why
not,
is
not
it
in exchange for sex?
Right. So. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
I think if husbands would step up and really help their wives, I think things would change.
Right. Yep. Agree. Well, you might be listening to this and maybe you see yourself or your marriage in something that we've shared. And so the question is, what do you do? And so Priscilla, why don't we talk about that? And let's speak to the women first. If you were talking to the women, what would you say their options are if they see themselves in a marriage like this?
You have to figure out who are you looking to as your leader? Is it your husband or Holy Spirit?
Hmm.
You know, I remember as a single woman, I was looking to my dad.
Yeah.
Whatever he said went, right? Then I get married and it's you. And then, hey, it's the counselor. You know, everyone, I'm looking for leadership everywhere except where it should be. I never saw myself as Christ saw me.
Mm.
My identity was not in him. It was on everything else but him.
Yeah.
And I didn't see myself as a daughter. I'm a daughter first of the King.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a wife.
Yeah.
And whatever he says goes.
Wow.
You know?
That's a mouthful, Priscilla. I don't know if everybody's getting that, but that's an identity statement that is core to everything we're doing and talking about, really.
Yeah.
I could see that changing you.
Yes.
I mean, because, huge.
You know, it's even Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing to see yourself as Christ sees you. I have placed all my trust in him.
Well, it's key, right? Because no husband, no man, no person, pastor, anybody is ever going to be worthy of all your trust because everybody is fallible. And so when that person fails, then all your belief, all your everything can come crashing down, right?
Right.
But when it's placed on the Lord Jesus, I mean, that's the place
that's
you
it.
Need it. You know, and it's really even Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's the ultimate place of submission, right, in our life here.
So what do we say to husbands then who, you know, they might see themselves in the way that we were?
Well, Priscilla, I think the first thing guys have to do is they have to be willing to take another look at some of the way that they've thought about their traditional views on the headship of the husband over the wife and things like that, and think back on this. And they really have to consider, how does humility fit in with the way that they talk and act toward their wife and toward their kids? And it will take sometimes letting go of things that they have thought was true in the past and asking God to show them something different. But it does start in a softening of the heart. If their heart is not going to be soft towards God, it is going to be very difficult to get past all this.
You didn't change because you knew the meaning of head in the Greek. Yeah, I saw you changing when you humbled yourself before God.
Yeah, well, you know, we both softened our heart toward God, and then we softened our heart towards one another.
So we talked about how the husband's a head. He's not the boss, but he is the head.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that look like in like real time here?
Yeah, well, I think it's a key thing that we missed and many people miss, that this passage is not about commands. This passage is about a picture. He's creating a picture. And he says, the picture of the husband and wife is like a head and a body. What happens in a head and a body? Well, whatever is going on in that head shows up in the body.
Yeah, they work almost in unison, right?
Yeah.
Though the head is the one that's, you know, kind of like helping the body do what they have to do.
And this passage at the end says that the two shall become one flesh, right? So he points out that we are all one flesh. He also says in there, nobody would hurt his own body. So this whole thing is about a picture. It's not about a set of commands about ruling or authority or submission. It's about a picture. It's trying to help people understand that in a marriage, the relationship between a husband and wife is like a head and a body. The husband's the head. The wife is right in there with him with a body. And whatever he does is going to show up in the body. And I think I'd miss this. And in fact, I always thought that what you didn't know wouldn't hurt you. But that's not what we saw, because we saw what was happening in me show up in you.
And not only me, but the kids, right? We saw the reflection.
Yeah.
On our kids.
It was a reflection on our kids. And so when I started changing, the reflection in you and in our kids really started changing after that.
Yeah.
And I think if men would look at this and start to say, what is it in this passage? And what is my real responsibility? Your responsibility is whatever is happening with you is going to show up.
Whatever is happening in your body and soul is showing up.
Somehow in your wife and your family.
And your kids, right. Everything you do, everything you participate in, everything that you have meditated on, focused on, or even how you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Will reflect on your kids,
yeah.
And wife and kids.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So Priscilla, this was a major change for us. I think we see all these passages somewhat different. And I now see that the major thing is that I really should love you as Christ loved the church. And that means that I have to have changes inside of me. And when those changes started being seen by you, it started creating changes in you. And I'm no longer focused so much on your humility or submission, but on our mutual submission, right? And I think that's been an enormous change for us.
I see a huge change in you, Phil. You are not the man that I married 35 years ago. I am so thankful for that. Mm. I really do praise God. It's like the new version of Phil.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, so what's the answer to the question?
The podcast question.
Is the husband really the head?
Well, the answer is yes, but not the way you think. So he's not the head because he's the boss. He's the head because everything he says, thinks, or does is reflected in his body, which now includes his wife, since they are one flesh.
That's right. I felt the change in you, in my own soul and body, and I'm starting to flourish for the first time in the 35 years of marriage.
So, men, with that testimony from Priscilla, if you want to see a change in your wife, let the changes begin in you through your own humble submission to God. And if you do this, you'll start to see a beautiful reflection in your wife. This is Phil and Priscilla Fretwell. Thanks for listening. Our book, Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction, is now available on Amazon.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Savage Marriage Ministries. Also, join our Savage Marriage community at savagemarriageministries.com.
And remember, it's God who is at work in your savage adventure.